Second John, we're going to be looking tonight at verses 7 and 8. Second John, verses 7 and 8. Second John, verse 7 says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that ye lose not those things, which we have wrought, and that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son." One of the things that is so common in politics today, right now we're having an election next Saturday, or this coming Saturday, and politics, one of the things that's very common in politics is deceit. Deception. They'll say all kinds of things to try to trick you. They'll promise you the world. You vote for me and I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do everything else. And then when they get in, we can't do that anymore. That costs too much. Can't do that. And they change their mind. They're deceitful people many times. Now, not every politician is deceitful, but many of them are. And deceit is one of the things we see so common in our world. Deceiving people is telling lies, tricking them, trying to get them to believe something that isn't true. That's deception. Now, the Bible's word translated deceive here in our text. Notice here in the first verse it says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world." The word deceive there is a word that means to wander, to rove, to mislead, to lead into error, to be a vagabond, a tramp, an imposter, a corrupter, or a deceiver. It's talking about false teachers that were tricking people and leading them into false doctrine. So they're false teachers that are tricking people, telling them things that sound nice but aren't true, and leading them into false teachings. And so tonight we're going to be identifying the deceiver's denial, his description, and his doom. The denial, the description, and his doom. Three things about the deceivers. First of all, the denial of the deceivers. Deceivers, it says they're entered into the world. Look again at verse 7. It says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world." What does he mean, entered into the world? It doesn't mean they were born. It doesn't mean they entered in from outer space. They're not aliens. It means that they came out of local churches. They went back into the world. They had been part of local churches before. They had been part of churches, and they went back into the world because they were deceivers. And they left the local churches. They had previously made professions of faith in Christ. You know, there's a lot of people that say, "Yeah, I'm a Christian. I trust that Jesus is my Savior." But then they go and they forget it all. They leave it all behind. They walk away from it. And they turn their back on God. And they believe something totally wrong. And that they are showing by what they've done that they don't truly know Jesus. Now, one of the things that I truly believe, and you already know this, but let's understand it, is that once a person is truly repented and trusted Christ their Savior, they are a Christian, and you can't lose that. It's like being born into a family. Once our three boys were born, they can't get unborn. They can't say, "Well, I don't like mom and dad anymore. I think I'm going to get unborn and I'll be born into somebody else's family." You can't do that because you're part of a family. And same thing is true when you truly get saved, when a person truly trusts Christ as a Savior, they're brought into God's family. When they're brought into God's family, they can't lose that. But many people claim that they know Christ, but they don't have Christ in their hearts. And Jesus said in John 3:3 that they need to be born again. We need to be born into God's family. John 5:24, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." You have everlasting life once you trust Christ, and you can't lose something that you have. John chapter 10 and verse number 28, Jesus said, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." He said they will never perish, never perish. And however, Jesus also stated that many would profess salvation without dealing with their sin God's way. Remember what he said there in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23? He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." And Jesus said, "I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Iniquity is sin. They were sinful. They had never dealt with their sin. Jesus said, it doesn't matter if you've done many wonderful works. You've cast out devils in my name. You praised my name. That's not the point. If you never dealt with your sin, you're not a child of God. And so they had never truly trusted Christ their Savior, even though they claimed to be Christians. And there's a lot of people in churches today that claim to be Christian, but they've never trusted Jesus Christ their Savior. Now, I'm not the judge. I can't see their heart, but God knows who's His and who's not. And it's important for us to understand that this is what He's talking about when He talks about these deceivers. They were ones that once were in the church, but they left and they changed their beliefs and their ideas and their doctrines. It's because they never did come to know Jesus Christ, their Savior, and they turned their back on the truth and went off and followed error. They did not lose their salvation. I'll emphasize that again and again. They didn't lose it. They never had it to begin with. That's why we read in the book of 2 Corinthians 13, verse number 5. 2 Corinthians 13, 5 says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? Reprobate means someone that's gone astray. Someone who's not doing the right. So he says, you need to examine yourselves. So that's one of the things that's important, especially you children. You know, if you made a profession of salvation when you were, let's say you did when you were 9, all right? And as you grow older, you need to ask yourself, was I genuine? Did God change my heart? Is there evidence in my life that Jesus Christ saved me? And you know, if later on the Spirit of God convicts you and says, you know, you're not acting at all like a Christian. Your life does not show Christ in you. You don't act like you know Jesus Christ, your Savior. And if the Spirit of God starts convicting you, the right thing to do is to make sure of your salvation. That's why he said here, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how the Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. You don't want to be lost and think that you're saved. And there's a lot of people today that think they're saved because once upon a time they prayed a little prayer, but it didn't mean anything to them in their heart at the time, and they just did what everybody else did, and they didn't really get a changed heart. And there wasn't salvation there. John warned of the same deceivers in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19. He says that they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would not have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. He said they left us, they went back into the ways of false teaching because they were never of us to begin with. They faked it like that for a while, but then they got tired of faking it and they left. And they went back to their old beliefs, their old teachings, and to something false. Jude also tells of the same thing. In the book of Jude, he talks about these deceivers. He says in Jude 1, verse 3 and 4, he says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So he says that they were part of us. They crept in unawares, crept in when nobody was looking. They got in there and they pretended that they were part of him. It's like a sheep crawling into the sheepfold and pretending he's a sheep. Jesus described some people as wolves in sheep's clothing, where they put on, make it look like they're a sheep, but they're really a wolf. And that's the idea of this. People that have crept in unawares and made it look like they were a Christian, but they really weren't. And they stirred up trouble, tried to take people away, and they were not really genuine Christians. And they led others astray. So he's talking about these deceivers. Deceivers deny. Notice what he says here in our verse again. He says, for many deceivers entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Right? He says they deny that Jesus was come in the flesh. That means they deny his incarnation. Remember that big word we learned in doctrine class? Incarnation was the time that Jesus became a man. God became man. They deny that Jesus came and became a man. Sometimes people would deny that Jesus actually became a man. They said, oh, he just looked like a man, but he really wasn't a man. That's one way of denying it. The other way is they deny that it was God that became man. They say, well, it was just a God, or it was just a prophet, or it was just a good man that became Jesus, and he lived a good life and left us a good example, but he really wasn't God. Right? So they're denying the incarnation and the deity of Christ. They're saying that God did not really come and take flesh on flesh and live like a human being. God didn't really do that. And so they're denying that. Now, the word confessor means to agree with or to say the same thing. He says they don't say the same thing. They don't agree with. They don't say, yes, I believe that Jesus came and into this world and that he was God. Now, this is a fundamental truth. What I mean by fundamental, it means you can't take it away and still be saved. You cannot deny that Jesus Christ is God and still be saved. Because Jesus Christ said he was God. And being God, he was able to die for our sins and pay the debt for us. If Jesus wasn't really God, if he wasn't the eternal God that he said he was, he couldn't save our sins. You know, it had to be an eternal being who has always existed and was sinless to be able to pay for the sins of the billions of people in this world. Because our sins are an eternal debt. And he would have to be an eternal God to pay an eternal debt for billions of people. It can't be just somebody that God created. It can't be just a good prophet. It has to be God. It's fundamental for our faith. And these false teachers, these deceivers, didn't lose salvation. They never truly believed in Christ. They never were saved to begin with. They did not lose it. They never had it to begin with. And the fact that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, as I said, is fundamental to our doctrines and the things that we believe in. He in the flesh means that he came and took a body like ours. Jesus had a body just like mine, just like yours. If you pinched him, he'd hurt. He could feel that. He would get tired. He got hungry. He felt all the agonies and troubles of life. He had a body like ours. It was a human body. But he was yet God. He was the God-man. And these deceivers were denying that. These deceivers were spreading lies about Jesus. Peter tells us the same thing in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, where he says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. He said people are going to follow their false teachings. And then they're going to speak evil of the truth. They're going to follow the false teachings. Now we need to be very careful. There's a lot of cults in our world today that are leading people astray. They have a nice message. They sound good. They sound intelligent. They talk about the Bible. They say they believe in God like we do. But they're false teachers. They deny that Jesus Christ was God. They say he was a God. They say he was a good person. Or they might say that he used to be like us and he worked his way up until he got become a God like he is. This is some of the teachings of the false teachers around us. We need to be very careful about these false teachers. Don't believe those kind of things. Deception spreads very quickly. And somebody starts telling lies and they start saying things about this. It starts spreading and people say, oh yeah, I like that idea. That's a good idea. And it spreads very fast. I think it was Mark Twain that said this. He said, a lie runs around the world while truth is putting on her shoes. A lie runs around the world while truth is putting on her shoes. All right? In other words, you know, truth is just, you know, putting on the shoes, getting them ready. And lies already gone around the world. Lies spread fast. And deception is very quick to spread. We need to be very careful. These deceivers were spreading their lies and spreading their false teachings. Now, notice secondly their description. He says there again in verse number 7, he says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. He said there are deceivers and antichrist. All right. Now, when he calls them the Antichrist, he's not talking about the Antichrist in the book of the tribulation time, when there's going to be a world Antichrist who sets himself up as God. But there's many Antichrists. The word anti means against. All right. So these are people that are actually against Christ. They're against Christ. Oh, they might not say they are. They might say, oh, of course we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in that. But they're working against him because they don't believe the truth about him. They believe that he is just a man, or he worked his way up to the position of God like he is now, or some other false idea about Jesus Christ, but they don't believe that he's really Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. And so they are false teachers and deceivers. They're anti-Christ. They're against Christ. And they're teaching things that are against him. And the cult followers who deny the deity of Christ are anti-Christ. They may be sincere. A lot of the Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and the people of that nature, they're nice people, sincere people, believe with all their heart what they believe. They're not out there just trying to go around saying, let's see how many other people can get to believe our lie. No, they're not doing that. They believe what they believe. But just because they're sincere doesn't mean they're right. They're sincerely wrong. Why? Because the Bible, like we talked this morning, the Bible is our standard. Not our ideas, not our feelings, and it's not some writings of some prophet in the past that belongs to their church, but it's the Bible that is our guide, and we need to make sure we understand that. And a good question to ask a religious teacher is this question: what do you think about Jesus Christ? What do you think about Jesus Christ? And depending on the answer he gives, if he starts saying, well, Jesus Christ was a good man and lived a long time ago, or, you know, Jesus Christ was a God, as soon as they start saying stuff that's contrary to the Bible, you say, no, I'm not interested. I'm not going to talk to you. All right? They have wrong beliefs about Jesus Christ. If they do not believe and state clearly that Jesus Christ is God the Son that came to this earth, took on a human body, lived for 33 years, died on the cross to pay the debt of our sin, and that he was the second person of the Trinity. If they don't believe that, they're a false teacher. They're a deceiver. They're a heretic. And we need to stay away from them. And don't believe them. Don't listen to them. They will lead you astray. So John says that they are antichrist. He also says that they are thieves. Look at verse number 8. He said, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. They're trying to take people away from the walk that they were walking with God. They're trying to take them away so that they will lose their reward, or so that the teachers would lose their reward for seeing. The idea of reward here, I believe, is not talking about salvation. He's not talking about losing our salvation. Salvation is not a reward. One of the commentators I was reading, it was really good. He made this point. He said that salvation is a gift of God. It's not of works. It's not a reward. Salvation is not a reward. It is a gift from God. And reward is something you get for something you do. And we get rewarded by God by the things that we do, how we live for Him. But salvation is not a reward. And as we think about that, these deceivers were trying to take away the young believers from the following the truth, pull them away from the truth. They were trying to deceive people that were thinking about getting saved and so that they would follow their teachings instead of following the gospel. See, they're deceiving. They're pulling people away. They're leading people astray and leading them in the wrong direction. So they are thieves. They're pulling them away. Remember what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:19? He says, For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? He said, you people that we've led to Christ, you're our joy. You're our crown of rejoicing. You're the crown, that you're the reward that we're going to get. It's going to be wonderful to be able to see you with me in heaven one day because I had a part in leading you to Christ. And so Paul was saying, you're my reward. And he's saying, I don't want someone to take away my reward. I don't want them to pull you astray. I don't want them to lead you a wrong way. I don't want them to take you down the path that will cause you to believe false teachings. He said, I don't want that to happen. I want you to stay close to God so that that won't happen. Simon Kistemaker, one of the commentators that I read, said that speaking of the reward, he says that it does not mean salvation, but salvation is a gift that cannot be earned, we merit reward for faith and obedience and diligence. John was here talking to this woman, Korea, and her children, and he says to them, look to yourselves. Look to yourselves. That is a command to question the deceivers, to guard yourself, to make sure you don't get tricked. Don't let them trick you. Don't let them deceive you. Don't let them pull you along the wrong direction. You know, it's sad when that happens. In the 20-some years that we've had our church going here, I have seen numbers of people been led astray like that. Not just off to some other church that preaches the gospel. I'm talking about off to cults, off to deception, off to things that were totally off, wrong, and got involved into cults, involved, all kinds of things. Sad. Breaks my heart. But I've seen that happen. And it happens because these deceivers are so subtle. They make it sound so real and so convincing. And you need to be very, very cautious. He says, look to yourselves. Don't get caught by them. Don't be tricked by them. And then the third point that I want us to look at is their doom. Their doom. What's going to happen to them? We'll look at verse number 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. All right, so he says that they are, if they don't abide in the doctrine of Christ. Now, what's that mean? That does not mean they didn't hang on tight and keep their salvation. It's not what it's talking about. Remember, he said that they departed from the church. They were part of the congregation. They walked away from it. They left it. They left what they were had been taught because they had never truly trusted Christ their Savior. They walked away from it. And they did not abide in Christ. Christ was not their Savior. They didn't come to the place where they embraced Him and His teachings and for salvation. And they walked away unconverted. John chapter 6 and verse number 66, Jesus tells us there of the same thing happening in His ministry. And He said, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Many of His disciples. I mean, there were thousands of people following Jesus. When He fed the people on the mountainside, 5,000 men plus the women and children. Some people estimate there might have been 20 to 25,000 people there with the children and women. It's a lot of people. A lot of people. All following Jesus. But when they heard Him preach this kind of message, they said, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. We're not going to believe that stuff. This guy's weird. Let's get out of here. And they left Him. They left Jesus. Turned their back on Him. Walked away. Didn't believe it anymore. And no more followed Jesus. And that's what He's talking about here. They professed it, but they walked away from it. The doctrine of Christ includes all that Christ taught about salvation during His ministry. Not just the fact that He's deity, but everything He taught. He says here, they transgressed, they abide not in the doctrine of Christ. The word doctrine means teaching. They didn't abide in the teaching. They didn't stay. They didn't hold on to that teaching of Christ. They didn't say, yes, that's what we believe. We believe that. Yes, wholeheartedly we believe it. They didn't believe it in their heart. They didn't hold on to that. John chapter 7 and verse number 16 says, and Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me. Jesus said, my teaching, my doctrine comes from the one that sent me, the Father in heaven. It's His doctrine. That's what I'm teaching. And He said, if you don't hold on my doctrine, you're going to be lost. If you don't come to me, know me as your Savior and follow what I've taught about salvation, you're going to be lost. So a person that rejects the salvation that Christ offered has no hope. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 3. Hebrews 2:3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? He said, how can we escape judgment? He says, you can't. You can't escape judgment if you neglect what Christ did for us. And see, that's something very important. If you don't truly receive Jesus Christ your Savior, you will miss heaven. You will go to hell. You will miss heaven forever. You cannot escape judgment if you don't put your faith in Christ. Very, very important for us to see that's exactly what was happening to these deceivers. He says that they had transgressed. The word transgressed means they turned aside. They had transgressed. They did not stay in the teachings that they were being taught in the local church. They didn't put their faith and trust in Christ. They didn't have God in their heart. They didn't come to know Him. And as a result, they had not God. And He says, he that abides in the doctrine has both the Father and the Son. So if you follow the teachings of Christ, you come to know Jesus Christ your Savior, and you walk in His steps, you have Christ in you, and you have the Father and the Son. And you cannot lose that if you truly come to know Him as your Savior. Now these deceivers did not have God. They were lost. It's like the story, or the parable that Jesus told of the sower and the seed. Remember that story? Jesus told the sower went out to sow, and he sowed the seed in his field. And as he sowed the seed in his field, some of it fell on the road, the hard ground. the stony, the rope pathway. Some fell on the pathway, and the birds came down, saw it on the pathway, and grabbed it, ate it up. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. And they flew away. And it never germinated, didn't even look like it was going to come to life. It became bird food. Some of it fell among the stones. All right, so there's stones there. Now, he's not talking about rocks like this. He's talking about stone ledges. The dirt's on top of it. You can't see the stone ledge, but in a lot of places in the world, there's big layer of stone, but there's a little bit of dirt on top, and you think, oh, yeah, it looks like a good field. But you go put your shovel in, it hits the rock. And so the seed got there, sprouted up, started coming up. You see this little green thing coming? Oh, good, we're going to have green. And then the roots got down there, hits the stone, couldn't go any further, didn't get any water, dropped over dead. Didn't produce any fruit. Some of the seed fell in the weeds. There's weeds growing along over the side where the farmer didn't get them all pulled out. And it fell in among the weeds, and it started growing. And you think, oh, good, there's some crops coming. But the weeds, you know how weeds are. Weeds grow twice as fast as the plants. So the weeds grew up, and they choked the plant. And the choked plant goes, can't do anything. I can't get any more air. Can't see the sun. Can't get any water. The weeds are eating it all. And it died. No fruit. But he said some of it fell on the good ground, and it bore 40-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. What that means is some seeds, you know, even in our gardens, you plant some seed, you may have one plant that has a lot of fruit on it. Another plant has a little fruit on it. Another plant has one or two on it, but it's got some fruit. Not very much. You say, well, that one wasn't very productive, but these over here were really good. And he says that's the way it always is if there's really life. The fruit was the key to life. And so in that parable, as you read that parable, the ones that sprouted, we could look at it from a human perspective and say, oh, isn't that great? Looks like they're saved. They're coming along. All of a sudden, what happened to them? Oh, yeah, they quit coming. They only came for a couple weeks, and then they dropped off. Quit coming. You try to go visit? Yeah, but they won't even let me in the house anymore. They won't talk to me about it. They don't want to know about it. See, they were one of those on the stony ground or on the weedy ground. They made a profession, but it wasn't genuine. Never produced any fruit. Now, the fruit is the evidence of life. Fruit is evidence of life. And some Christians will produce a lot of fruit. You know, maybe they'll go on to really be a fiery servant for God. Some people will just produce some fruit, but there's going to be always fruit in a person's life if they're truly saved. You look at your own life this evening. Every one of us ought to look at our own life. Ask yourself, is there fruit in your life? Is there evidence? If someone was going to watch you for a whole week, let's say they followed you around, they were invisible, and they followed you around everywhere you went all week long. And they wrote down everything about your life. They wrote a little journal about your life all week long. By the end of the week, would there be enough evidence to prove that you were a Christian? Or would they say, I see nothing here. They don't read their Bible. They don't pray. They say things they shouldn't say. They argue and fuss. They do things they shouldn't do. They cheat when they can. You know, whatever it might be. But they watch everything about your life. What fruit is in your life? If there's not fruit showing that you truly know Christ your Savior, you need to do what God said there in that verse in 2 Corinthians. Examine yourself. Make sure you're really saved. Just because you prayed a little prayer doesn't necessarily mean you truly trusted Christ. Because you've got to examine your heart to know whether you truly know the Lord as your Savior. Now, we can't lose the Lord if we've really been saved, but there ought to be fruit. If there's no fruit, something's wrong. Something's wrong. And we need to be fruit inspectors of our own life. These deceivers had no fruit in their life. They did not know Christ their Savior. They may have looked like it. They let them into the church. They said, oh, isn't that great? Brother so-and-so now, he's been saved. Look at his life, oh boy. And then 3 weeks later or a month later or 6 months later, where'd he go? Oh, I don't know. He left. He's off to some, you know, this latest cult. And he's following them now. He's not following us. What happened to him? You know? I mean, we're not the judge. God knows their hearts. Okay, that's the big thing. We can't judge people's hearts. But when they go off and they follow some false teaching, some cult, some deceiving things, we are sad. We think something was wrong. Must be they didn't really get saved. And that's sad when that happens. But that was what was happening here with these deceivers. And they did not have God. Their doom was hell. They had no hope of eternal life. They were separated from God. And that was a sad thing. He says that they did not know God. So, what can we learn from this? Number one, beware of deceivers. Beware. Beware. Watch out. They deny that Jesus Christ is God. They deny the teachings of Jesus Christ. And God describes them as antichrist. They're against Christ. Even though they may say they believe in it, they're against what he taught in the scriptures. And their future is not heaven, but hell. And John warns us to look to yourselves. Watch out for yourself. Don't be deceived. You know, don't listen to those kind of people. You know, you young people especially, if somebody approaches you and you can sense that they are from one of the cults, don't listen to them. Just say, no, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk about it. Walk away. You know, sometimes you got to be blunt with them because they're pretty persistent. But you don't dare listen to them because they're deceivers. They're convincing. If you listen to their story before long, you're saying, well, yeah, that sounded pretty true. It sounded pretty good. Maybe they're right. You'll get tricked. Don't do it. He says, look to yourself. Beware. Guard yourself. Be Bible wise. Know the book. Know the book so that they're not going to trick you. So they're not going to pull you astray and lead you into a false way. And when you see them, you need to stay away from them. Don't get near them because they're going to hurt you. Okay? Very, very important instruction that John gives to Korea and her children. To run away from those who are teaching false teachers, the deceivers. Stay away from them. Stay away from them. And it's a good word for us here tonight as well.